Welcome back to 14 Speaks. I'm Jenny Holtz.
And I'm Dylan Van Sickle. Today, we're talking streamers. And we're not talking about the party decoration.
The popular streaming service Twitch was founded in 2011 by Justin Kahn. He was a life caster who streamed his life around the clock starting in 2007.
The platform is wildly popular. On average, every day, 2.2 million people broadcast and 15 million people tune in. Most users view 95 minutes per day on average.
And these streams can be viewed by just about anyone with a Twitch account and an internet connection, unless you're in China. The site was banned in September of last year, but not before it climbed to number 3 in the Chinese iOS store.
Going by the numbers, gaming is easily the most popular category on the site. And we spoke to Twitch user Jesse Love about what it's like to do that almost every single day.
Okay, so I first began this in the year 2017, and I started it as competitive COD because I was interested in FaZe. I don't know if you guys know who FaZe Clan is, but it's basically for like trickshotters on Call of Duty. And I've been watching like my favorite players like Jesus Patch and all of them. So I thought it would be pretty cool to start my own stream and see where it went from there because, you know, it's just the environment because like I like communicating with people and everything. For example, for me, it's hard to grow up in an environment that's quiet, and I like look to Twitch for, how do I say, like social groups, and they all, like, we create a family, basically, and I really rely on it, too.
So you found these communities now. Are these people also streaming their content, or are these the people that are watching and following you?
It's a mix of both.
Okay.
So you said you stream video game content, right?
Yeah, I'm a variety streamer, so I don't stick to one game.
What games do you usually stream at all?
It's usually Fortnite, Black Ops 4, Overwatch, Uno. Like, it's a mix of everything. Splitgate is the newest game that came out, too, that I've been up to date with.
So think about it. You're streaming Uno?
Yeah.
It bothers me how primitive yet modern that is. You're streaming a card game, but it's online, and people around the world to watch you.
Yeah, I've also done Monopoly as well. I was surprised with that.
So, you got started, you got your stuff, you started streaming your content. When did you notice that people were starting to watch?
It was about mid-2017, around December. So originally I started in September, and at first I was a watcher, meaning like I only watched streams. But as I interacted more in chat, I noticed I started getting followers, and when I started off my stream, those people that I met, other people's streams started coming into mine.
Oh, okay, so things started crossing over and happening just because you were watching people and then they watched you. And so Joe was mentioning that you have received a lot of generous things from the people that watch your stream. When did you start receiving gifts and or payment for working?
It took me about a year because you have to reach a certain amount of followers. I think the average was about 70, and I received this application for affiliation in my email, and I signed up for it because it sounded pretty cool, but at first I didn't know what it was. And then that's when it said you could link your PayPal and receive money for bits. This is basically like little stickers that you spam in chat and you get paid for it. And I was amazed by it. I'm like, I never knew that was the actual thing. And then eventually when I reached the max of 100, I got my first paycheck and I was like, wait, what is this?
How long do you stream and how often do you do it?
I try to stream 7 days a week, but right now it's 4 to 5 days a week, and it's up to 7 to 9 hours a day.
Wow.
Wow. Is this your only job or you?
I do also catering.
So you're doing catering and you are?
Yeah, I'm a full-time student, part-time worker, and part-time streamer.
was there a moment when you realized, like, hey, this is it? This seems like absolutely... Was it the first time you did it, or when you started to receive things?
I think, actually, where I started, like, where it's, like, been pretty hectic was one of my supporters donated me a PC and a P.O. box. I had no idea of it. And when I went to tech, there was a whole PC with the keyboard and mouse and everything. I was like, this is legit. It has a graphic card with all the specs and salvages. Like, truly shocked. To get an entire PC that's worth thousands.
Yeah. So do you know this person? How did that all pan out? How'd you respond?
I was shocked. I thanked them and everything. And I still communicate with this person on stream, off stream, and everything. I knew him for only like a week in my chat. And then next thing you know, I have a whole PC.
Was this to support the streaming or what?
Yes, because originally I started streaming on Xbox One, then I switched over to PS4. And the person, like, this person kept asking me in chat, like, when are you going to upgrade a PC to have, like, you know, a legit stream with webcam and all that? I'm like, it's probably going to take me a year because I'm saving up and I have, like, a donation goal set. He's like, you don't need to worry about that. I was like, what do you mean? And then, like, a week later, that's when I received the PC and I didn't have to worry about it.
Okay, that's super nice. Do any of the gifts or anything ever cross a line for you? Your last tweet was about getting people using your photo to catfish.
I mean, sometimes I have my doubts of, you know, when you're getting close to that point where you're blowing up on social media. And, yeah, that was the first time that I heard somebody use my pictures. But when you're coming into this, you have to have that mindset that you might get famous or some type of publicity that is going to go out there somehow.
And you get control to watch it.
Yeah.
Can you block it? Is that possible?
You can, but if you block, they could still view your stream, but they won't be able to type in chat.
Oh, interesting. So they're not really blocked.
And then another thing in Twitch, not everybody chats in the chat, so they will be viewed as a lurker, meaning they're only watching and never chatting.
So do you have to block people very often, or?
I rarely do, but mainly when I do block people, it's because of inappropriate comments.
The internet can be a very toxic place.
Yeah.
Do you think that Twitch or online streaming, do you think it kind of embodies, I guess, I play Xbox, and people say it's the absolute worst, most heinous thing you can possibly think of, but it's in real life. Do you think that bridge is a little bit blurred, or that line is blurred with Twitch and stuff?
I mean, when you're on Twitch, there's specific rules. If you say, like, a certain slur or anything, you're automatically kicked off that browser, and you get a notification in your email that you were third-party or you were saying inappropriate stuff, and they give you, like, a warning of you could be suspended or either banned for life on Twitch if you're saying, like, a certain curse word that's not allowed.
Whoa, so unlike Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else, there are consequences for hate speech. You've been doing this for a couple of years now. Do you foresee this being more of a source of income in your life, or what's the ultimate goal for you?
For me, I just do Twitch for fun. I really don't do it for income-wise. I just like having that type of environment of growing family rather than getting money off of it.
That seems to be the theme. I mean, I think about, you know, you see all these headlines where people are making $20 million, you know, being YouTubers and whatnot, but there just isn't any coverage about the actual real community of people and how close people are. Do you think that that's getting enough attention, or, you know, we should be focusing a little more on that stuff?
I mean, it would be great to get more news sources on how streamers actually interact with their viewers.
Are there any, like, memorable stories of interactions and stuff outside of the computer story, which is crazy? What are some things that would surprise people about being a Twitch streamer?
Oh, that's a hard one. There's a lot of stuff that has happened.
Or what are some misconceptions?
I mean, preparing to see their child streaming at a young age, they're not going to be too forward because, you know, parents obviously have that perspective of wanting their child to go to college, get a 4-year degree, and get an actual job. But some streamers who are above average are like making money off of it and having a great community. They view it differently compared to parents. They see it as like, oh, you're just being lazy sitting. but the person that is streaming, they see it as a community that actually wants to see you grow.
That's really cool. And you said you do it for like 7 to 9 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
So this is, I don't know if you know an answer to this, but when you're talking about community, do you know how many like regular viewers you have that are like tuning in repeatedly?
Probably about 15 to 23.
That's like a little family, yeah.
Would you say that most of your followers are from the U.S. or all over?
I would say it's a mix. Mainly, I would say in the U.K. area because I stream later, and it's usually morning for them.
So I guess, could you tell us what your Twitch handle is?
My Twitch handle is Jessie Loves. Yeah, I basically find it as a hobby more than anything.
Oh, nice.
So basically, when someone says they're variety stream, that means they don't strictly stick to gaming. You could be like, I do art streams as well, gaming, IRL, etc.
So you do. So variety literally means everything.
Yeah.
Okay, well, awesome.
Gaming is the most popular category on the site, but there are still live casters. We spoke to one.
Chris, or better known by his Twitch handle, The Tech Tourist, occupies intimate space of Twitch reserved for people who stream their lives online.
It's just like vlogging, what people do already on YouTube, except it's live, no editing. Whatever happens, happens. If you're out there exposing yourself to the elements and people are watching you, and that's really what it is. That's like a new thing because before you can only stream at home. You have constant good internet. Otherwise, it shouldn't turn off. But with the advancements of the technology of keeping your stream alive and having being able to stream on your mobile, like people have already been doing it. It's just that now it's like a thing that everyone does all the time. And I guess it's just like, it's a new form of content. It's live travel vlogging, really. Regardless of what it is, it's live travel vlogging. And it's just a way to be there in real time versus waiting for someone to record something, edit it, and then put it on the internet for people to see. Yeah, they could do that all in one day, but there's like an agenda to that. There's always like a point of view that you're trying to show that, right? You know, just record it and upload it right away. Like, that's not what people do. But with the IRL streaming, it's already there. People are looking for this stuff. Like, they're there to hang out. Like me, I get anywhere from, I'm under 100. I'm always under 100 viewers. Like, I'm around the 40, 50 mark most of the day, and then 30 near the end or the beginning. It's like the opposite of Pokemon Go. Instead of you going out, people are watching you go out and eat and have fun or not have fun.
I mean, I know you as a generally quiet but excitable person. Like, when you get excited about stuff, you get really hyped. But then usually you're just pretty laid back and quiet. So we were both kind of fascinated with, like, well, what? It seemed like such a leap. Not in a bad way, but it was just impressive that you were going for it.
It was something new for me, but like, I got used to it because every time I stream, more and more people would come and watch and hang out and talk to me and then thank me for stuff because I was basically like a tour guide for Vegas.
Do you think you'd be doing this just as much as if you had never Philippines?
No, I was doing this more already. The only reason I really did this is because like when my grandpa passed away, I live streamed his funeral on Facebook, and I had so many people in the chat come and tell me, thank you, couldn't make it, thank you, you know, there's no way we could have gone there, we're stuck here in the Philippines, thank you, you know, for showing Tata Ben's funeral because it's like, it was that, just those things alone, those, you know, maybe this is why people IRL, and that's my reason for IRL streaming is there are people who just watch me because they can't do what I'm doing, or there's people who watch me because they can't leave their house. There's people who watch me to live vicariously through my life.
Tell me about the gamers versus the IRL community, because that's where I was drawing this idea of toxicity.
It's no any different. The difference is they're playing a video game, and they can restart all they want. I'm playing the game of life, and it's YOLO. It's YOLO. Really, if something happens to me, I'm done. You know, I'm done. I'm on a mission. Really, it's like how it is, just another game, except it's the game of life, where it's just like, wait a minute, this is too real, then that's really what it is. Like, but the real difference is gaming, you're in a controlled environment, you're at home, mm-hmm. You can control what goes on. If you don't want to play this game, you can play another game, you know. For me, that's not control. I can't really control what happens around me. I can influence what controls what happens around me, just like in a video game, but I can't really control it. Like, even if I try to control it, some random aspect, some RNG will happen, and boom.
So how long do you stream for on a daily basis?
Before I lost my battery, I was streaming an average of 10 to 15 hours a day.
Just streaming?
The entire day. Yeah, outdoor the whole time. You're eating, walking around. I'm talking to more people now. I interview people when I'm bored. Or, you know, I do whatever the hell. Everything else. I don't stream like indoor content too much. I do if I'm just bored, but I'd rather be outside because streaming gets me out of the house. And, you know, that's how it is. It's just crazy. Like, I don't even know how I'm able to do this because even if I fail, meaning like I make no money and I can't survive off this, like it's just a great experience. I'm gonna go back to the States and do it all over again. I didn't want to give up on this because there's people who don't give up on me. There's literally so many people who don't give up on me that I would rather just continue to do this. And it's not like I hate doing it. I don't. It's fun. And people want to see me grow and people want to see me, like, very much succeed. Like, I'm on my streams, I don't play a character. I play me. I play me a little exaggerated. It doesn't, you know, I'm shy a lot of the time, but I've been getting out of my shell more and talking to people and, you know, things change. And it's just fun.
Thanks for listening to 14 Speaks, and we are well aware of the irony of doing a podcast, which is an audio-based medium, about something about a video-based medium.
Thank you to Jess and Chris for speaking with us today. Thank you to Amy Merrick, our faculty advisor, editor-in-chief Madeline Happold, and managing editor Cody Corral.
I'm Jenny Holtz.
And I'm Dylan Vansickle, signing off forever for the last time, hence the melancholy music at the end. We're just going to run the tape and let it go. Bye-bye. Thank you.